The boys are away, and I'll tell you what, they might not return because we have got some big guests on the program today. Rhett Biglands, I'm certainly not one of them, but this man alongside of me, right ahead of his 150th, could slide nicely into this position. He's got the whole Port Adelaide Football Club listening to him this afternoon. He takes on the Kangas this week. He's the power stalwart, I should say, Jackson Trengo. Welcome to the program.
Biggles, I can't wait, mate. Dom come in for one or two, and then it was similar to like his last year. He didn't do much training, and he's obviously slid out the side already. And I look forward to this afternoon, and hopefully get through a great program.
Hey, it's a big week. You're 150th. You're going to run out with your little daughter onto the field versus the Kangaroos on Saturday?
Yeah, it's going to be a different field this weekend. 150 is obviously a lot of games for myself. We've also got Ollie Wines, who knocks up his 100th, and Sammy Gray with his 50th. So it's a big week for a few boys at the footy club. My little girl, Sophia, will run out with me. I've just got to get the tick of approval from the footy club and the AFL. And, it's one of those things in life that, I'll treasure probably down the track more than what I will on the day, and just hope we do get the win for the 150th and obviously the boys' 100th.
Certainly, it's an intriguing time at the club as far as premierships go. And, the possibility this year of one of 6 to 8 teams winning one. And you guys... Everyone is aware of your capabilities at the moment. And for yourself, it must be a little feeling just inside that there is something special there.
There's definitely a spark. I think it'd probably be with a lot of teams at the moment, just that it is so close, the competition. I think, for the previous 5 years, you've sort of had that one or two that are probably going to go all the way from early on in the season, where this year it's wide open. You've obviously got GWS, who are, going to be really hard to stop, and then the Crows, who are on top of the ladder for a reason. And, it's probably exciting for us. We probably needed that confidence booster that we got on Sunday over in Perth, because it was heavily scrutinised that we hadn't beat a top 8 side, and to go over to Perth and beat West Coast was a big achievement for our footy club. But now we've got to go on, we've got to keep learning and keep improving week in, week out.
Hey, you love your trash talk as well in the UFC circles, not you on the field. We gave little Frankie Cassisi a little jab before, but trash talk in the UFC and boxing circles, you love your UFC?
Yeah, it was very interesting to see Conor McGregor go at it today. It was pretty big.
You haven't knocked nobody out in about 20 years. Dance for me, boy. Dance for me, son. Dance for me.
We'll get into that a little bit later on, but wasn't there some slanging going on?
Mate, I think he's the best in the business at ripping blokes, and, Money Mayweather's obviously got the nickname for one reason, and he certainly did put on a bit of a show himself, and it's going to be a huge fight, and I'm not sure who's going to win, to be honest, Biggles.
Well, let's hope there wasn't any racial taunts within that comment, but we'll have a look at that in depth later on. Yeah, it's a bit of news around as well. Great to see Venus Williams becoming the oldest woman, Jacko, to continue into the semis since Martina Navratilova in 94. 37 years of age and 29 days. Good effort.
It's remarkable, mate.
You love her, don't you? She's unbelievable athlete.
Awesome athlete, her and her sister, but at 37, mate, if I'm still walking at 37, I'll be happy, let alone being at the Wimbledon finals.
Yeah, that's for sure. Bodies battled. Hey, one of the other things which affects players at the moment, apart from getting knocks around the body, as you mentioned, there's a few issues around, and it's great to see Tom Boyd back. But in regards to mental health, this is a new type of injury at the moment. Well, it's not new, but players have been dealing with it in previous decades in a different way. It's now been highlighted, and it's being dealt with by club doctors and officials in a different sort of manner than what it was in the bygone era when we were running trams up Jetty Road, which we still are. But from my point of view, Boydie had a lot of pressure on him, being a premiership player and a huge contract. Talk me through the issues now with a player, and more importantly, how the club structures up that type of treatment for this particular injury.
Yeah, it's definitely a tough subject, and it is getting spoken about more and more, which is fantastic. I think it's absolutely awesome that Boydie's coming back, and you do see Fasola, who's back out there, who's had some issues over the last couple of weeks. It's probably a hard one to get a good grasp of the way to tackle it on, because it happens to different people at different times. And for us as a footy club down at Port Adelaide, I don't know that the leadership group takes a big role on this. Every week we sort of get together after the leadership group meeting and just discuss players that we think might need a little bit more help, whether it be form issues, whether it be outside things that are going on in their life that they might just need a little bit more guidance or...
So you sort of, you identify these guys are a bit flat at the moment, they might need a bit of a lift.
Exactly right, and because the thing is, in AFL, it's not every week that, you know, it's going really well. You've got players that are out of form, you know, it might be 1 or 2 weeks that you have a bit flatter games, and you don't want to put that down to depression or this mentally illness, but you've just got to be very careful and watch that it doesn't spiral into that, and that's something that we're keeping a heavy eye on. I think just the way we're speaking about it nowadays as a whole group, you know, not only Port Adelaide but the AFL in general and the clubs, we're speaking about it, which is, it makes players more comfortable to be able to come out and face what it is that they need to deal with. And I think that's terrific, and hopefully it just keeps improving as we go.
Doctors have obviously a clause of confidentiality amongst their patients, and when players come to them, it's obviously not spoken around until the, you know, possibly the coaches are advised in regards to this area, and then players take mental health leave to get away from the game. And we know of people also who've been affected by depression who can't get out of bed for a week, close all of their curtains off in within their house, and then they're then prescribed medication to get themselves better. And this is a different form of injury that a lot of people can't understand, but there is a difference between being flat and having a bad patch in playing versus actually having clinically diagnosed depression. And a couple of times I know with your younger players, you've help them out in regards to having some issues away from footy, and I thought that was pretty admirable in particularly your housemate.
Yeah, because it's as you just mentioned then, it's a thing that you're not sure when it will pop up. I mean, whether it is a mental illness or a young kid just needing help, I think that you come in at 18 nowadays and your head coach has got to be really on top of his players that he's dealing with. He needs to know them inside out, and have an open office for them to come in and speak about these things, not only football or, you know, whether they'll be playing in the ones or twos on the weekend, but outside things that are going on in their life, whether their family life's going well, whether they are struggling a little bit to be able to get the help. You just mentioned a young kid that now lives with me, and he's having a super year this year. The way he's bounced back after, you know, he had a lot of things on his plate. His father passed away tragically. Jarman Impey we talk of, and he was a kid that was just able to work through it, and we had some times where he had to go back home and spend some quality weeks with his father as he was dealing with that sickness, but would still come up and play with us on weekends. So to the back half of last year, the way that Ken and the Port Adelaide Football Club dealt with that situation was, you know, it was admirable. They did the right thing by Jarman, and he's really proven that back to them this season and given it back to him in spades. So it's a case-by-case way that we've got to deal with it, but I think we are doing a very good job at it at the moment.
And there's a different style of coaching these days also. The rant and rave coach who wouldn't adapt to that type of mental stress, if you like, versus the coaches now who have to have that personal relationship with players, otherwise they won't get the best out of them.
And that's it. And some blokes react well to a spray, some blokes go into their shell. So it's really just knowing your player and knowing them inside out. It's not just, yeah.
Do you reckon there's less sprays now?
I think there is. I think there's you know, less sprays for younger kids. But then some kids come in, like Dougal Howard, for instance. He come into our football club and he responds really well to a spray and wants to know when he's not performing to the coach's standard. So him and Chad have got an awesome relationship where Chad Corns is able to give him that spray and Dougal
Chad's
responds
good
really
sprays,
well.
Isn't he?
Chad's unreal at giving sprays, but he's also had to learn to get it on the personal level with a lot of our players. And that's one thing that Chad would pride himself on, his grasp on the seconds players and also the main list players that we've got at our football club is second to none. He's done a huge amount of work on getting to know these kids and players that are playing for him, and they've responded and are playing good football for him.
A lot would have been learnt in the John McCarthy period after the tragic incident in Vegas.
Yeah, it was a huge period for our footy club. I was over there at the time, and it was just players dealing with it at different times. Some it hit straight away, and some, like myself and Alapate Carlo, it hit a little bit later on. It almost took a year to really sink in. So the club was right on top of that, and yeah, just dealt with it as it popped up. And that's one thing that I think clubs are doing really well now. When it pops up, they're very open. And you see all these players coming back and playing after a couple of weeks, which is fantastic, because the club's the best environment for them to get better.
Terrific insights there. Well, Twitter has lit up with questions, knowing that you are hosting today on the Rush Hour in regards to your contract as well. I did see this last night on a various news station here in Adelaide where they were sort of suggesting that you had signed a 2-year deal for the Port Adelaide Football Club. which would be great news for the Power supporters, but we need some more info.
Yeah, not quite yet. I did get a few messages after that report came out. I think it was Tommy Wren on Channel 9 threw it out there.
I didn't want to get any of the boys in trouble in case they got it wrong.
That's the one that sort of I copped a lot of messages about, and unfortunately not yet. My manager's just treating himself to a little holiday overseas, which these managers seem to do at this time of the year. It's I think the last thing on his mind is my contract when he's just bathing in the sun at the moment. So it's still a little bit away. Hopefully when he comes back from his overseas trip, the club will start to talk to him again. And they did have some conversation before they went away, and they'll continue that conversation. But there is a lot of mail out of our football club. We've had a few big signings last week, and hopefully there's a few more to come because we want to tick them all the way.
Scoop Treadray works at Channel 9 as well, and here at Triple M, and you catch up with him randomly here and there because he tries to think he's funny and do different things for dinner and stuff like that. But those type of news leaks, you mentioned the mail that comes out of Port Adelaide, sometimes it's not warranted. Sometimes it's completely false as well, and Treaders is normally pretty good. He's not the one who leaked this one, but does that sometimes worry you as a football club?
Oh, not really, to be honest, mate. I mean, Treaders is awesome with the boys. Mm. He's got a really good relationship with a lot of the players, and really respects our boundaries. And, we've had lots of conversations at dinners with Wazza's Ataf Rashid, who cooks up a feed for us and about four of the boys. And he did mention he tries to be funny. I'll tell you, the last time we were at dinner, he was the funniest we had in there. And there's he was unbelievable. I've never seen him more. He was in rare form because he is normally not very funny. But he must have had that fresh face knowing that he was heading up the river for a little bit of relaxation. But Treaders,
fresh face, I reckon he's had a spray tan too.
Well, there is a lot of talk about Wazza's spray
on the
tan
score. And
he is looking younger and younger than what he was when he played with me, so I think he's definitely doing something.
He could go the duck injections of the brow soon, couldn't he? Who's he wearing Carey's forehead?
I don't think
days?
He's far away. We might see Wazza with hair again. That'd be absolutely extreme. But Wazza's very good with his mail. I think he sort of waits till it's 100% legit before he runs it, which is very respectful. And I'm not sure where they got that one from last night, but it's not the case yet.
Port supporters would love to see they would love to see their coach as well signed for another couple of years. On the back page today of the paper, it's suggesting that there won't be any further negotiations. Kenny Hinkley contracted until the end of next year. And what's your thoughts around that? I think they're pretty happy with him.
I'd say that they're very happy with Ken. I mean, I think you look at the way that he's been able to come in and make a huge impact on the footy club. We had a couple of years there where it was a bit shaky, but for him to be able to reinvent our team this year and come up with a new game plan that works, I think shows how good of a coach he is. And I don't know how we've been talking about him being out of contract. He's got another year left on his contract, and at some stage the club and him will come together and sign him up again.
I think it's because of the musical chairs which are going on. Rocket Eat under the pump at the Goldie, and obviously Bucks has come out and had to defend himself with Gary Pert, so then people start to throw around a bit of rhubarb.
Everyone gets used to it nowadays. I think it's whether it be player or coach, it's you can have a year or 2 years left on your contract, and people start to throw in your name. So it's nothing that we're not used to. And Ken's name's been thrown up at the start of the year, whether he'd be at the club again. But the way he's performing and the way the team's starting to gel and improve every week that we go out there, I think the club will be very happy with him.
We welcome Damien Barrett. How are you, Damo?
Hi, boys. Nice to chat to you guys in the absence of the other two lunatics.
Thanks for coming on, Damo. Just a quick one. There's plenty of mail on Brad Scott over here in Adelaide about what he's going to be up to next season.
Yeah, look, I'm a little bit sceptical about where Brad Scott and his management are taking me. So I say that based, guys, on what we know that his management, led by Craig Kelly, and Craig Kelly personally did last year when the Brisbane Lions, as we know, had removed Justin Lepage from their coaching ranks and was seeking a new coach. Craig Kelly tried to get Brad Scott's name into that conversation, and we know the Lions didn't want it. Only years earlier, when the Gold Coast Suns had removed Guy McKenna and were going down the path of replacing him with Rodney Eade, again, Brad Scott's name, via his management, got himself into that particular conversation. I feel that he just hasn't totally committed to North in raising all of that. And while he's still got a contract to run well and truly beyond this year, clearly he would like the option, the way I'm reading this now. And I believe, too, that if he was to present North Melbourne with the option, as in, I've got a deal to go elsewhere. I don't think you'll find North Melbourne fighting too hard to keep him. North's not going to drive that situation where he leaves, but at the same time, should he come to them, I reckon it's game on, and that he would be more than likely under that scenario to part ways with the club he's been at now for what is the eighth season.
Interesting comments. You're spot on there, because he said that he's always going to have North Melbourne at heart, but who's in a better position when it comes to starting 2018? But over in Melbourne, we're hearing that Jack Watts is definitely out of the Demons clash to play the Crows up in Darwin on Saturday.
Yeah, he's told people that during the week, Rhett, that he won't play, and it's a pretty crucial out. He was really important for that initial stage of their resurrection in 2017, and the injury that he's suffering from right now is actually one that he did more so on the training track. He was asked to really extend it in a lead into a game that the club wanted to play in, and ultimately worsened the complaint that he's got. So he is out, and it is a pretty big out, given that that club now has put together 7 wins out of its past 10. It's going very nicely. The only bad game came when all hell broke loose in that a couple of weeks ago, and it could well have been a whole lot greater margin than it actually was against the Swans. But they got themselves back together again last week. I really like what they're doing, but without Watts, I reckon they're going to be pretty vulnerable on the weekend against the Crows.
And concussions getting bigger and bigger every time we speak. We've got Ben Griffiths, who hasn't played for a number of years, and a huge blow for St Kilda after a scintillating game against Richmond on the weekend, with Paddy McCartney probably going to miss again.
Yeah, he will. Sorry, Jason. He's going to miss at least 3 from here. And look, just do the maths on that. That's getting up to around 20 before the possibility that he might come back through the VFL. And when you're leaving it that late in the season to attempt yet another comeback from the really sensitive part of the game, that being that the head knocks, he's now had 6 that go back to his last year of junior footy, 2014. He had 3 in the VFL last year, and a couple he's copped this year are just not right. He had tests last week on the back of that latest VFL concussion, and they came back in a way that the club's not going to reveal, and I'll dance around it. But ultimately, that there were some readings and some recordings and some markings in those pretty serious tests in the to the head region that alarmed the medicos around it, and as such, will miss at least 3 from now, having already missed 2 in the most recent setback he's got on this front.
Yeah, it's a worrying sign. No doubt that headgear is probably only a year or two away from being compulsory, Damo. That would be a strange thing to see, but who knows?
You guys, I mean, tell me, I hear the medicos on this, and Peter Larkins and others, Rowan White, talk about this, but would you have felt that it would actually help you in a concussion incident, or is it more just a protection that you feel you've got when you can go into those clashes?
Damo, I think you feel a bit safer. I'm not sure whether it's going to help completely. I think the way that the players are going at the player and at each other, that with the speed nowadays, I don't think it's going to really matter too much whether you have got a helmet or not. So
yep.
Some of these accidents are just freak accidents, and we hate seeing it in the game, but it does seem that nowadays, if you've had one or two, it might be the case that you need to have a helmet on for a few weeks to really get over the injury, and hopefully hopefully you don't get yourself in that situation, because it's getting nastier and nastier as the year goes on.
Yeah, it is. And with McCartney himself, if you saw the vision out of the VFL away last time, the commentary around it has been that he just did not protect himself from what was really an innocuous collision. And you referred there, don't you, to those helmets. And Ben Griffiths has been wearing one for a while, and he's sustained 2 head knocks while wearing the helmet. So again, each person's wired differently, obviously, and reacts differently. But, I just don't know whether the helmet wearing would actually eliminate the actual concussion itself.
You might need to bring a helmet into the Saturday rub after the last Saturday performance, Damo, especially for Brownie, because he's copping it from all angles.
What did he do this particular occasion?
Just his quiz was deplorable.
Oh, the quiz, yeah, sorry. How could I forget? I actually loved seeing him flustered really early days in our question too, and it's fair to say that we probably did gang up on him a little bit, but he's done that to all of us in the past, and for a man who was as comfortable as any single human being in his own skin, it was good to see him very uncomfortable in that same skin, just even for the 5 minutes that it took him to run that disastrous quiz.
Great stuff. Thanks, Damo. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Damo.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, great to have Jackson Trengove in the studio, driving the rush hour today ahead of his 150th versus the Kangas. And I'll be there in the rooms prior to the game, as I always do with Triple M, and after the game. And one thing I've noticed when I go into the rooms is there's a sign on the wall in regards to no mobile phones for players. And I'm hearing that also you have to nominate coaching staff and officials these days who are going to have their phones in the rooms prior to the game and during the game from an AFL point of view as being a regulation you have to stick to. Is that correct?
Yeah, things have changed. I think when I first moved in, you could use your phone as your iPod or listen to your music or whatever you sort of wanted. Nowadays, you've got to go in. We walk into the ground. We hand in our tickets to the big G-train, who's the door steward at the club, who you hand in your tickets. He'll put them there for whoever needs the tickets. And then you hand in your phone. You basically sign off your phone. So he sort of takes care of it. All the young kids make sure they see all their Snapchat chats and Instagram stories and all
so
that sort of bizzo.
Every player's phone throughout the entire match.
He has the whole playing list phone throughout the match. So the things that he could get up to if he was a bit naughty, the G-train. But he takes serious care of the phones. But it's just to protect the law against gambling nowadays that we might have some information before the game, and the coaches as well also have to abide by that rule.
So intrigued as well. Coaches have to give their phone as well, or they have to nominate?
No, there has to be a nomination of a handful of coaches that can keep them. I'm not sure the exact number, but there's a number of staff that obviously need, like the doctor will need to have his phone, Chris Davies, who runs the show, Kenny would have his phone, but then the rest are the same as the players, have to hand in their phones. That list will get taken into the AFL midweek, and they'll tick it off and approve that the blokes will have their phones that they can allow, and the rest can't have them.
That's insane. And every player has a lock on their phone?
Every player's got a lock, which is a funny story. I do like playing up a little bit at the club, and from time to time, if someone leaves their computer open, normally staff, I give them a one-year rule allowance. So after their first year, I don't get them anymore. But if they're within their first year gap, I'll fire away. And Timmy Parham, a physio that come from GWS to our club at this time, had his phone out there. And there's a thing, if you can talk to Siri, so if they leave Siri on, you can actually tell Siri to change their Facebook status. So Timmy Parham's walked out of his office. Poor Slim, he's such a nice bloke, and we get along really well and have a lot of laughs. But he left his phone there. I thought, beautiful, this is my chance. And I've jumped on his phone, grabbed his Siri and said, I'm expecting a baby as his Facebook status.
No,
so I'm thinking, how good's this? This is the best stitch up of all time. I've gone out, done my Pilates. He's come flying in and said, who's that? Got a bit carried away because his missus has got on the blower, not knowing this, not knowing that I've written this. His missus was actually pregnant at the time. So I have gone completely white. Felt the worst I've ever felt about a prank that I've pulled off, because I'm pretty ruthless with that. It doesn't sort of worry me. But still to this day, I haven't apologised to Marcella, lovely wife. And
You should right now.
Well, I do apologise, because that was just, it was a mistake that didn't quite go to plan. But lucky enough, Slim took it on the chest, and he's got a lovely daughter now. So it's all forgiven. But there's prank that I do regret.
The Rush Hour's quiz with No Name. Thanks to Automasters.
Your drive home isn't always smooth, but make sure your car runs smoothly. Call 1300 Automasters.
1,000 clams, thanks to Automasters this afternoon. John's been good enough to get through out of Grange. Afternoon, John. Feeling confident? How's things?
Yes. How you going? Good, thanks, buddy. How are you?
Good, good. What's your favourite topic of sport?
Probably football.
Good. You're in good stead. Hey, this quiz looks easy, don't you reckon, Jacko?
It does look easy, Johnny. You're Port or Crows, mate?
I'm a Crows man, Jacko.
Might have a few tough ones in here then for you.
Here we go.
Well, here we go, mate.
Jackson's going to kick it off.
Yep.
Richie Port had a huge fall in what race?
Tour de France.
Floyd Mayweather will be fighting which UFC star?
Pass.
Which men's world number two was bundled out in Wimbledon yesterday?
Pass.
Name the Port Adelaide player notching up his 150th game this weekend.
Billy Slater and Cameron Smith will play for which state tonight?
Queensland.
Which team currently has the highest percentage in the AFL?
Yeah. Crows.
What team is known as the Red Devils in the EPL?
Manchester United.
Which Port player currently lives with Jackson Trengove?
Jarman Impey.
Who won the 2011 Brownlow Medal?
Pass.
Which city are the Adelaide Crows playing in on Saturday night?
Darwin.
Going back, question number two. Floyd Mayweather will be fighting which UFC star?
Aldo Matos.
Which men's world number two was bundled out in Wimbledon yesterday?
The rapper.
Who won the 2011 Brownlow?
Dan Swan.
Oh, my God.
We've got to go to the judges. Because the time was out. We're looking to our officials here. We might have to even go upstairs to the third review, Jacko.
That sounded late to me. If it was a Port supporter, I might have been on time.
Shut up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Given it. Wow.
Oh,
John.
Johnny.
Oh,
how are you feeling? Your mate next to you too giving you a hand. How are you feeling?
That's second time on. Both got 9 out of 10.
Oh, Johnny, that last answer was about 4 minutes late, mate. Let's be honest. I tried everything in the studio, but...
Not Charlie Dixon, is it? A couple of minutes late?
Yeah, we lost the game for that, and you've just lost $990 through that one. So.
Mate.
No, that was a terrific effort, John. That was fantastic.
No,
mate, I thought there was a few real hard ones in there.
2011 Brownlow medal. You passed on it the first time, went to Dane Swan, but terrific work. Well, we're joined by a former Bay boy who had a tough start to his AFL career, dislocating a couple of knees, now having a ripping season at the D's. Alex Neil Bullen, g'day, mate. How's things?
G'day, guys. Yeah, good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Hey, D's are on fire. Won 7 of the last 10 and knocked off Adelaide when they last played. Have you seen a big shift in the culture at the club so far this season?
Yeah, no, it's a good time to be a part of the footy club. Probably a big factor of that is your old mate, Simon Goodwin. He's come on board and I really set a great foundation for the culture and getting the right people through the footy club. So, yeah, the club's on the right track. That's no doubt true, but we've still got a long way to go until the September comes around and hopefully we're a part of something special.
Hey, Roosie claimed the accolades last night on this program. He reckons it's all him.
Did he?
Yeah.
Jeez, yeah, okay. He's valid through his opinion.
Alex, you boys seem to have a lot more consistency in your game this season. What's that actually come down to? Obviously, last year you had a really good season and everyone saw the progress that you had. But this season you just seem to be playing good footy week in, week out.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's probably a lot of it is between the years mentally. So it's the confidence within the group is building week to week. And we've probably seen that in the last 5 weeks where we've been challenged externally and internally. And to be able to produce some of the wins we've had this year, let alone the last 5 weeks, is something that confidence has come through the training camp and probably the progress of the young boys as well. So myself included, we've really stood up in the last 4 weeks when we've had our injury list pushed to the limits. So yeah, probably a key factor for that would be confidence and also our ability to win the ball around the contest. We really drive our standards around that aspect of the game.
Yeah. No doubt you stood up, Alex. Against the Saints in March, you had a ripping game. And then I think last week, would you say last week was probably the best AFL game you've played with those two goals and crucial moments in the last quarter against the Blues?
Yeah, it's hard to compare certain games. Every game for me is different. I play a different role most weeks. So it's probably my best four-quarter effort. And to be able to contribute late in the game when the game was on the line, I drew a lot of confidence from that. It's one of those things where each team's so different. So one game will be in and around a contest. One will be a fast-moving game. So, yeah, I was just really pleased to be able to contribute late in the game.
Mate, one bloke that I want to touch on is Michael Hibbert, obviously from Essendon. Had the year off last year, but his form off that half-back is just unbelievable at the moment. He's getting plenty of the footy, but his ball use as well is just first class and really sets up the ground for you guys and also breaks the lines, mate. What around the club, what's he sort of add to your young list?
Yeah, Hibbert has been huge for us this year. It's more his character around energising the group. So he's got this personality that draws a lot of different characters. And him and Jack Watts especially, people who you look to on the weekend for some energy before a game or even midway through a game if we're struggling a bit. He really drives the standards back there. And again, like you mentioned, his ball use has been superb. And it's something that over the last few years we've probably missed some polish coming out of the back line. And he just gives us that spark and confidence that everyone can draw on. So he's been huge. And also having his mate Jake Melksham come along, he's that tough inside player that has really balanced out the group as well. So they've both been huge for our footy club.
We're joined by Demon Young Gun, Alex Neil Bullen. Hey, Alex, Clayton Oliver got himself in a bit of grief with a supporter over the boundary line last week. And then obviously the bug incident. And then now people are starting to question whether or not there is some discipline issues at the Demons. And what's been said behind closed doors?
Yeah, it was really, we really made the game on the weekend to challenge ourselves and to prove to people on the outside who have questioned our culture that we really are a footy club that are not wanting to be recognised for the wrong reasons in the media. So for the weekend, we went out there and really wanted to make a point that our culture is nothing to worry about. And like any footy club, you don't want to be renowned for a culture that have individuals in it. It's more of a team aspect game. And the incidents we've seen in the last couple of weeks, the boys will learn from that. For Clayton, it's probably, I think people forget he's in his second year of AFL footy as well. So everyone does make mistakes and he'll learn from it. And he's a competitive beast. Jacko, you probably know when you're in the heart of the moment, you exchange words with opponents, maybe opposition supporters at times, and you learn from what you do. So no doubt we'll keep driving standards, but overall our culture at the footy club is, I don't think, has to be questioned anymore.
Yeah, Alex, so that's spot on. I think with the culture, there's no real issue down there. At times you do get caught up in the head at the moment. Obviously Adelaide, probably one of the hardest road trips at the moment, just the form that they've been in. Have you guys acknowledged two or three key things that you think can beat the Crows this week?
Well, previously played them earlier on in the year. We addressed their ability to rebound off halfback. So that's a huge factor in the game, is if you can limit their ball use, then you're really in the game from the start. But it's probably something that we'll touch on tomorrow. We've got a team meeting tomorrow before we fly out and address some minor little key factors that will help us win the game. But again, it's just going to be one around contest and hopefully stop their ball movement and people off the half back like Laird and Atkins and personnel of those kind.
Be nice up there, 30 degrees every day. We really appreciate you taking the time out. Busy schedule, big game as well, national broadcast. You hear it all live here on Triple M. Alex Newborn, thanks for joining us. It doesn't get any bigger, Jacko, tonight than Game 3 of the State of Origin, and a man who's been a part of it for such a long period with the Parramatta Eels, 13 State of Origin games. Peter Sterling joins us. G'day, Sterlo.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. That's a very nice welcome. Thank you.
That's the way. Hey, tonight, well, we're all glued to the set, 9:30 on Channel 9. It'll be a massive game. And is it the last time we could see some of the greats in State of Origin in regards to Daly and Cooper Cronk and the like?
Yeah, I don't think that may well be the case. Obviously, no Jonathan Thurston tonight. And it would be a celebration for his unbelievable Origin career, despite the fact he can't take his place. But I wouldn't be surprised if that's the last time we possibly see Cooper Cronk and Billy Slater in maroon colours as well. So in front of a sold out Suncorp Stadium. Plenty of emotion tonight that he side a one all going into this, all to play for, and certainly plenty of the Queensland fans hoping that it's a celebratory night for them.
Sterlo, you just mentioned then JT's obviously not playing with that shoulder injury, mate. He was so big in that game too. How much of an influence do you think him not playing is going to be on the Queensland side?
Well, as a New South Wales supporter and part of the support staff, I'm hoping it leaves a huge hole, to be honest, and one that can't be filled. But look, he's one of the great players. He will be an immortal in our game, even at this early stage. He's very influential. He's a big loss tonight, but the young man coming into his place, Cameron Munster from the Melbourne Storm, has got Origin football written all over him. Really tough kid. It looks like he's right up to the challenge. So he'll need to be watched closely. But Thurston obviously is a loss.
Huge loss. Billy Slater, obviously for the Maroons, holds the key as well. Tweaked his ankle. Is that just another Maroon tactic to rattle the camps on the opposite side? Or he's good to go, obviously?
He's good to go. I'd like to have been assured of winning the lottery as I was of Billy Slater taking his place tonight. we were just a little bit surprised that there wasn't a virus that swept through the camp after that. That's generally the case. No, it's all ducks and drakes, folks, and smoke and mirrors, and that's the beauty of Origin. But we're not far away now for all of that being forgotten when the guys run over that white line to get out there. You know, it's Rod Stewart, tonight's the night, and it's all there for the taking, one all, and the scene is certainly set.
Pete, just obviously with the Origin, you tend to find some high scores and then some very low scoring games. With this game three, obviously game two was a high scoring game. What do you think this week will hold?
Yeah, a lot of times that comes back to the playing surface, and Suncorp Stadium in Brisbane is a really good fast surface. We've got the best defenders in our competition, the 34 elite players. So defence always plays a major role, but you know there's every likelihood points will be scored because the surface is so conducive to moving the football around. When a bit of fatigue sets in, then there's certainly players on both sides who can take advantage of that. Look, I think it'll be really tight. I think both teams need to be prepared to win this in the 80th minute. And look, whether there's a lot of points scored or if it's a low-scoring game, I think it'll be tight and I don't think there'll be much in it.
Your boy Big Fifita is an absolute moose. If he eats up territory tonight like he did in Origin 1, it could go a long way to the Blues winning.
Well, if he can reproduce that, which will be very difficult to do, New South Wales win. It's as simple as that. But, you know, you've got to praise Queensland the way that they approached him in Game 2. They went in and tackled him low a lot more than they tried in game one. He's a really awkward big thing. He sort of rolls around, got a big motor. He's tough to get a hold of. So the tactic in defending him in game two was certainly much better than what Queensland produced in game one. We like to think that, you know, we worked on that, and he'll be harder to tackle and a few little different things in his game. So he's a key for New South Wales tonight, but you know, everybody needs to bring their best game.
I'm surprised when you said he's got a big motor. He doesn't look super fit, but he can run and he just breaks lines.
Oh, he's a bit of a freak athlete at his club Cronulla. He's up there with the leaders when it comes to their long distance sessions, their runs and that. So that's one area in his game that is not a concern. He can play big minutes. You know, for somebody his size, that is a bit of a rarity. And we're looking for an explosive start from him tonight. And sometimes his second stint is actually better than his first. He can be really damaging when he comes out for his second stint.
Pete, we know that there's stars on both sides of the lineup. Is there two or three players that you think might be able to just break through tonight? Obviously, they're all great players being in the Origin, but two or three lesser-known names that might make a breakthrough on the big stage tonight?
Yeah, look, there are two players on debut for Queensland tonight. Michael Morgan comes in, and he actually set up the winning try in game two and has shown for his club, North Queensland, that you know, when they need a big play, he's capable of doing that. So he slots into the centres tonight for the injured Darius Boyd. He needs to be closely watched because he's a strong runner of the football. He's got good ability with the ball. He's a decent playmaker. So he can't be underestimated. And for New South Wales, I've been at most of their sessions, and Josh Dugan, also in the centres, normally plays fullback for his club, but he looks really sharp at the moment. He's got great footwork, really big man, and he seems primed to me. So there's a couple of guys that I think can, if there's a difference to be made, it may well be those kind of players who can do it.
Finally, before we let you go, first try scorer and the margin tonight, Sterlo. Triple M listeners, live on your words. What have you got for us?
First try scorer, well, I'm going with Dugan, the gentleman I just mentioned. As I say, I think he's looked really good in training. And you wanted a margin? One will be enough.
One will be enough. it's always good.
Don't care what the scoreline is, as long as New South Wales in front after the 80th minute.
Yeah, go the Blues. It's always good to have you on. We appreciate a Hall of Famer. Great stuff, Sterlo. All the best tonight. Great calling.
Thank you very much. Great to talk to you.